Morning. It's interesting, I'm sure no one ever keeps a track of these things, but this is my third time already speaking Parsha Shmos. I always try to speak about something related to the Parsha, that's how I note these things. So, it happens to be that Parsha, if you're going to have to get stuck doing the same Parsha every year, Shmos is a very good one. There's many, it's a very rich Parsha, a lot to talk about. So I decided to call it from a little bit of a different angle this time. When Moshe Rabbeinu ends up at the famous burning bush, famous pasuk Vayomer, Al Tikuv Halom Shal Nalachem El Ragachi Ki Amok Mashal Ta'omei Lov Ad Mas Kodesh Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is informed that this ground that he is standing on is holy ground, and therefore it would be appropriate for him to remove his shoes. The Ramban comments on there that, well, actually, we understand the concept that the burning bush, the Shechina, Rashi talks about it, is represented, is actually at the burning bush. So therefore, the bush has a certain amount of Kedusha. However, the Ramban points out that Moshe Rabbeinu is not standing in the burning bush, thankfully. Right? He is a certain amount of distance away from the bush. So therefore, the question is, what do we learn from him? The Ramban says, if you look at number two, that even though, Afal Pishar Rochok Min Asneh, even though he was far away from the bush, here's Hira Bazei, he was still warned to remove his shoes. Once the Shechina comes down to the mountain, even though the Shechina is only on part of the mountain, the Kedusha spreads through the entirety of the mountain. And this rule, the Ramban points out, this isn't a one-time rule. This is one time in history where the Shechina came down and therefore the entire mountain became Kodesh. However, this applies in other cases as well. Most notably, go a few years down the road, you're going to have Matan Torah. And Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down the Torah to the top of Har Sinai. However, the entirety of Har Sinai was surrounded, that no one was allowed to go there because of the Kedusha of Har Sinai at the time that the Shechina was on Har Sinai. That is one example the Ramban gives. Looking towards the end of the Ramban, it says, V'chein b'Yehoshua. In Yehoshua also you're going to have a case like this where Yehoshua is going to be told, he's going to run into a malach who's going to tell him to remove his shoes. And of course, finally, ultimately, when the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built on the Har HaBayis, when the Kohanim go up on the Har HaBayis, they will only go on the Har HaBayis barefoot. Why will they go barefoot? They will go barefoot because there will be Kedusha. That even though the Shechina might just be in the Beis HaMikdash, or even maybe in the Kodesh Kodesh, maybe just in the Aron, right? There's only going to be a small part of the Har HaBayis that's actually going to have the Shechina there. However, once there is Shechina, once that there is some of the godliness on part of the mountain, the entirety of the mountain becomes Kodesh, the Ramban writes, and therefore, when you go into an area that's Kodesh, it is necessary that you remove your shoes. He becomes very specific here that the Kohanim would go Yechefim, meaning that they would be going barefoot. Now when the Kohanim were working in the Beis HaMikdash, when people went to the Har HaBayis, there cannot be anything between your foot and the ground. And therefore the Ramban says that is the reason why. Same idea as we have here in the Parsha, when there is Shechina on the Har, the entire Har is Niskadesh, the entire mountain becomes holy, and therefore it is necessary for a person to work barefoot on it. This would seem to be the marker for the Mishnah towards the end of Brachos, in number 3, when talking about the ways that a person should act when they go on the Har HaBayis. Lo yakel odom es rosho keneged shar hamizrach, shu mechavin keneged beis kodesh kedoshim. You should deal with a certain amount of seriousness when you're lined up in the same direction as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lo yichnos lahar habayis b'makro b'min olo upundoso, etc. That you also should not go up in the Har HaBayis among the things that are listed here. You should not have your walking stick. You should not be wearing your shoes. Right? This is the idea that the Har HaBayis, even though the Shechina is not on the entire Har HaBayis, it's on part of the Har HaBayis, the entire Temple Mount is Kodesh, and therefore when someone would go up in the time that the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim on the Har HaBayis, it was appropriate for that person to remove their shoes. So it would seem, based on this Ramban in today's, in this week's Parsha, that when we talk about going on the Har HaBayis, a person has to be barefoot. That's what the Ramban says flat out. Rashi in Yevamos has a little bit of a different take. Rashi in Yevamos, Gemara in Yevamos, in Perak Mitzvah Chalitza, quotes that there is a rule that when somebody goes into the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, a person should not be wearing a turban, a person should not be wearing socks. What's the reason for that? And it says, and of course, it goes without saying, the person should not be wearing shoes. Now, what's the reason for this? So the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Shkolim that's being quoted by the Gemara here. The Mishnah says that when you're going into the treasury, the person's going to be as a concern. Someone's going to walk into the treasury, and then, totally unrelated, they become very wealthy afterwards. So people say, oh, he stole money, he hid it in the hat, he hid it in the socks. So therefore, based on the concept of Hiyisa Mikiyim, that a person should, there should be no concern that anybody ever did anything morally, ethically wrong. So therefore, you should not enter, even though you're not going to steal anything, you shouldn't enter in a way. There shouldn't be hems in your clothing. No one should ever think that you stole something. And the Gemara says, of course, you're not going to wear shoes. Why are you, of course, not going to wear shoes? Because it's on the Har HaBayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes. But the implication, it's more than an implication, is that even though you can't wear shoes, you can wear socks when the person goes onto the Har HaBayis. That a person does not have to be barefoot, it doesn't have to be the feet touching the ground, but rather it just can't be shoes. And the Rashi explains why. Looking at Rashi, Hachi Garcinan, Ela Amarava Lo Kasha. Masnisa the Trumas Halisha Ba'am Pilya Shalbega, the Lav Megin Havi, Vo Havi Nao, Gabi Azor, Nami Lekabi Zoyon. He said that we're explaining what is a shoe, what is a not a shoe. Right? This is Mitzvah's Chalitza. We actually had a Chalitza last Sunday here at Yeshiva. I don't know if that's why they closed down calling Yom Rishon for the day. I doubt it. But if anyone needs an excuse, you could use that. Right? When it comes to doing a Chalitza, there's very specific rules what the shoe is supposed to be like. So here, the Gemara is explaining what the shoe is supposed to be. A shoe has to be leather. Of course, the Gemara here also discusses the concept of what is a shoe for Yom Kippur. In other words, you shoes in Yom Kippur. We all grow up. We all have this idea. We all learn from the time of kindergarten. A shoe means a leather shoe. Right? Supposedly, Rav Soloveitchik disagreed. Rav Shechter writes in his Nefesh Harav, the Rav Soloveitchik would not wear sneakers that had arches in it on Yom Kippur. He thought that the definition of shoe was much broader than that. Similarly, Rav Sternbuch writes that he's also opposed to wearing sneakers on Yom Kippur, that perhaps those are shoes as well. So here Rashi points out that, okay, as far as we're discussing Chalitza, this is the meaning of shoe. And as far as the meaning of shoe, what is a shoe that you're not allowed to wear on the Makom HaMikdash? Rashi explains, why can't you wear shoes in the Makom HaMikdash? Well, a person wears shoes, he's going to walk through mud. You work shoes in order to allow you to get dirty, etc. It's not appropriate that I should go up on the Har HaBayis wearing muddy shoes. So therefore, if my shoes could get muddy, right? So therefore, even if we're not going to check everyone's shoes, we'll just say no shoes for anybody. That's what Rashi says. However, socks, I'm not going to go prancing through the mud in my socks. Right? Because my socks aren't going to help me. My feet are going to become very uncomfortable. So that's why Rashi says the reason you can't wear shoes on the Har HaBayis is because we're worried about muddy shoes. Shoes would get muddy. Socks don't get muddy because I'm not going to walk through the mud with my socks. That is the second opinion of Rashi. So we have now two opinions as to what would one do on the Har HaBayis. According to the Ramban, you have to be barefoot. According to Rashi, you don't have to be barefoot. You could be wearing socks because the concern is that you're going to get something that you'll bring your muddy shoes onto the Har HaBayis. So therefore, that's why with socks there's no concern. That is the second opinion. The third opinion is the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch. You're looking at the Sefer HaChinuch when discussing the halachas of Mora HaMikdash, the amount of respect the person has to have when going to the Har HaBayis. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that there's a mitzvah, Lira Min HaMikdash, Kol Ma Shenamidu B'Nafsho Makom HaPachad VaYira. that a person, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't be lightheaded, you shouldn't be joking, you shouldn't be talking about the football games. There's a certain amount of seriousness a person has to have when you're going on the Har HaBayis. And he goes through all the halachas, and among them he quotes, as we said, that you're not allowed to wear your shoes. The Minchas Chinuch, in commenting, and this is number 6, V'ayin Shem B'sol Perap V'mei Isha, the Nirek Sasset Dafka Na'al Du'B'chol Makom Na'al. We're talking about the shoes you can't wear. So again, the definition of shoe, he says that you can't wear on the Makom HaMikdash is the same definition of shoe in other places, meaning the shoes that you can't wear on Yom Kippur, the shoes that you have to use for a chalitza. And therefore, the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility. As he says, Kagom le'inyon chalitza le'inyon Yom Kippurim, asli konos bo, aval m'eino roi le'chalitza, kagom she'eino shal or, efshir le'mutter. However, non-leather shoes, he says, that could be that would be all right. Says the definition of shoe that you can't wear on the Makom HaMikdash, that is the definition of the shoe in the other places as we know as well. So basically we have three opinions when it comes to going up on the Makom HaMikdash. What is it that you can't wear on your feet? According to the Minchas Chinuch, you can't wear leather shoes. According to Rashi, you can't wear any shoes that are megen, that protect you from mud. And according to the Ramban, you literally have to be barefoot. Now, through much of history, this didn't matter that much. However, in 1967, things changed a lot. There was an article written in Tafshin Lamed Beis, that would be 1972, right, shortly after the time when we got the Har HaBayis back, and it was obvious that, of course, we're soldiers are going to have to go on the Har HaBayis. As a bare minimum, soldiers are going to have to patrol the area. So the question is, a Dati Chayal, who goes up on the Har HaBayis, what should we tell him to do? So Rav Shila Raphael wrote an article in Moriah, it's number 7, where he says, you know, let's be serious here. They have to go up there. You can't patrol, can't do Shmirah barefoot. It's not going to work. You know, if you have to chase somebody, you have to run, so you can't do it barefoot. So since you can't do it barefoot, therefore, obviously, this is a case of Pikuach Nefesh, right? If some people from the mosque on top started shooting down in the middle of Birchas Kohanim, God forbid, you know, that could be a terrible thing. You need to have Chayalim up there. You can't have them. So therefore, of course, in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, of course, this Isser of wearing shoes in the Har HaBayis, that doesn't apply. So that's what he wrote in the article. After there was a response, not long after a fellow, Rav Chanuch Zundel Grossberg, both of these are people who read a lot of articles, wrote back and said, you know, that's fine. I understand that it's pikuach nefesh, but you are missing an obvious point. Have them wear sneakers. Who says they have to wear leather shoes? Based on the concept of the Minchas Chinuch, who says that the definition of shoe is leather, they can probably do just as good a job. They can probably run faster in sneakers. So he points out, why is it that you're writing in your article that we have to allow them to wear their leather boots on the Har HaBayis? Why don't we just give them, you know, army sneakers to the Chayalim who have to go up on the Har HaBayis? Let them use sneakers and you don't have a problem. So the truth of the matter is unclear how helpful that would be, because you have several concerns. Right. Again, we have three shitas we're talking about here. According to the first shita of the Ramban on this week's parsha, the Ramban says that specifically you have to be yechefim. You have to go barefoot. So obviously, sneakers versus leather shoes doesn't make a difference. Not barefoot is not barefoot. Similarly, according to the shita of Rashi, that the definition of shoe for going up on the Makom HaMikdash, if something that is megan, something that protects your foot, something that you can walk through mud with, so I would assume a person could walk through mud with sneakers as well as you can do with any other shoes, right? Whether you're using real leather shoes or those man-made materials that you get in Payless for $10, which look just like leather, I assume they're basically megan just as well. That person would walk through mud with either of them. In fact, if I would be more likely to walk through mud with my $10 shoes than with my $100 shoes. Right, so according to Shita's Rashi, this wouldn't help either. The only Shita that you're going to get anything out of is the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, who said the definition of shu, as far as going up on the Makom HaMikdash, is the same definition as you have in Yom Kippur and other places, well, obviously that helps according to that. However, we did mention that there are a lot of opinions that on Yom Kippur you can't wear these either. That according to the Rav Soloveitchik's opinion, as quoted in the Nefesh HaRav, according to Rav Sternbuch in the Moedim Muzmanim. So it's unclear that, ultimately, at the end of the day, how much does this help? Right? The idea is that there is part of one shita that would tell you that it would be helpful to use the sneakers. Now, it's interesting. There is a fellow around yeshiva who must be doing reserves or something. He shows up in Mincha Maariv pretty regularly, from time to time, wearing his camouflage. He's a member of the United States Army of some sort or another. So I happened to notice the other day that they give out canvas boots. He regularly was wearing canvas boots when he walks in. So I guess maybe it makes more sense. My understanding is they don't do that in Israel quite yet. So this Rav Grossberg writes back and says, why is it that Rav Raphael is saying that there's no problem? Let him wear sneakers. So it's very interesting, Rav Raphael, number 9, he responds back. And he says, "Bachaburat ha'achrona shel ha'ma'ayan hityaches Rav Chaim Zundel Grossberg shlita masha kasavti b'moriya." He wrote what I have to say. "Tzarech lechutz yachepo min alim v'chayal b'shmira eno yochel l'vatzea m'tafkido v'shleimut b'tzura zu." That he wrote that, you know, that when I wrote originally that the person obviously can't go barefoot. "Chaymut olino na'arayim v'av Grossberg here she'ein iso lechutz marabayis b'nan legumi obad." So let him wear rubber shoes, let him wear canvas shoes. "Varayim idivrei ha'gemara b'yevamos." So he quotes that like that. He says, interesting. He says, "Ha'emes," 2 lines later, "Shebaosafis ha'maray dinei chayal b'har ha'bayis, ha'omid le'zfos mechadash." Actually, in my book, article, unclear what it is, "Dinei chayal b'har ha'bayis," according to what I am about to publish, I agree. So basically he seems to say that he thinks ultimately that, yeah, you're right, I'm asking that ultimately I have published another article, and in my follow-up article I agree with you that it would be better, at least you get some shitas by doing this. I'll just note as a footnote that I decided, well, let's go find this article. So the only thing I was able to find is Somet came out with a book about halachas related to the Har HaBayis. And in it, there is an article by Rav Shilo Raphael called exactly what it says here, Dinei Chayal B'Har HaBayis. And in that article, he does not write anything like this. And ultimately, when he did publish it, he wrote a word-for-word repeat of his first article in Moriah. There is nothing in it that I could find which is that he ever made the change. And it could be that he's right, that ultimately the majority of the shitas would seem to say that if a person would have to be on the Har HaBayis, then the truth of the matter is wearing sneakers won't help that much. Right? If you want it, if a person can, right, for whatever, go up there barefoot, that would be the best. Right? If not, socks, you know, would get you most of the shitas as well. But to wear sneakers, in these cases, yeah, the bottom line is the truth of the matter is it could be that the chayalim, that's fine. You don't really lose much by that. Now, of course, this all points to the bigger question, which is the more contemporary question. Most of us are not chayalim, as far as I know, in the Israeli army at this point. But there is this issue many people have taken to going up on the Har HaBayis, Mizman Azeh. Right? For years and years and years, no one ever went up on the Har HaBayis. The only people who went up on the Har HaBayis were the people who were on tours who didn't know better. But now, all of a sudden, there is this push that people should go on the Har HaBayis in general. So the question is, how does that work? Can you, can you not do? What's our view of this? So we start with a Mishnah in Kalim. And the Mishnah in the first parak of Kalim is giving a lot of the overview of the Kedushas. And it has a concept that there are 10 levels of Kedusha. And different places with different levels of Kedusha have different halachas. That's the basics. So starting with Mishnah Vav, it's in number 10. Esa Kedushas Heim Eretz Yisrael. There are 10 Kedushas, the 10 levels of holiness. Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Haratzos. Israel is holier than the rest of the world. Okay. Ma'i Kedushasa? What makes it so? Hoshim Evim Mimena Ha'omer Ve'bikurim Shtei Alechem Ma'she'en Kim Evim Mikol Haratzos. When we bring the Karban Ha'omer on Pesach, when we bring the Shnei Halechem on Shavuos, these various karbonos, which involved grain, the grain has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. Can't grow outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, even within Eretz Yisrael, there are different levels of Kedusha as well. Mishnah Zayin, Ayaras and Mokafas Choma Mekudeshes Mimena. Walled cities within Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than non-walled cities. What's its level? What makes it more Kodesh than the rest of the country? So, regarding how we deal with dead bodies and how we deal with somebody who has tsaras, somebody who's a tsaras, for example, cannot go into the walled cities, they can go to the non-walled cities. Right? So it's a higher level than the rest of Israel. Yerushalayim is holier than the other walled cities. What makes it so holy? That there are certain types of kedusha that you're allowed to eat there, right? Notably, for example, you have Maaser Sheni. During the cycle, there is a 7-year Shemitah cycle. The 7th year, we don't plant, so there's no Trumas and Maaseris to talk about. But in the first 6, you always have Truma Gedola, you have that which goes to the Kohen. You always have Maaser Rishon, the 10% that goes to the Levium. And then, in some of the years, you have what's called Maaser Ani, right? In the 3rd and 6th year, there is a 10% that's given to the poor people. But in the other years, the 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 5th year, there's something called Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, you take Maaser, you take a certain percentage, and you eat it yourself. Not a bad deal. The only caveat is you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Again, Yerushalayim is a higher level of Kedusha that you could eat the Maaser Sheni, for example, and in other types of Kachim as well. Beyond Maaser Sheni, Har Habayis Mekudosh Mimenu. Obviously, Yerushalayim has a level of Kedusha, which is higher than the other walled cities, which is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. However, the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, has a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Yerushalayim. What makes it so holy? What special rules does it have? She'ein zavim v'zavos nidos v'yarados nechnasin l'sham. That anybody who's called a tumah hava megufa, that there is a certain amount, there is tumah in the world, right? Unholiness, uncleanliness, whatever you want to call it. For example, if there is a dead body, that dead body is tummy. And someone who comes in contact with that dead body can become tummy. And again, that's how tumma usually works. You have something that is tummy, and it passes its tumma to another thing, and each level gets lower and lower. So again, a person can become tummy, for example, by coming in contact with a dead person. However, there are also cases where someone becomes tummy, through becoming in contact with anything, but rather on their own. For example, a woman gives birth. It's a wonderful thing, but there's also some tumma that comes along. She gets tumas yoledes. Every month, a woman becomes a nida. That's another thing. Similarly, if a man has certain emissions which are not normal, right? That is what's called a zav. If a woman has it, she's a zava. This is a certain level of tumah. If a person is in that level of tumah, they cannot go on the Har Habayis. Nowadays, when we talk about a woman who's a nida, so again, a woman's a nida, she goes to the mikvah. This is something that's very private. It's really nobody's business if a woman is a nida or not. Right? When she goes to the mikvah, it's nobody's business but her and her husband's. Now, it used to be, back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when a woman was a nida, they would wear different clothing to make it clear to everybody whether the woman was married or not married. Because it was important to know that if she would touch kachim, etc., if she could touch truma, things would become very problematic. So therefore, this concept of nida, even though now we don't care, unfortunately, about tumah v'tahara, right? Nida is irrelevant for one thing and one thing only at this point, right? there was a time where the issue was tuma. So therefore, the Mishnah says that somebody who has this type of tuma, that person cannot go on the Har HaBayis. So, what's the story with nowadays? So nowadays, yes, women are become nidas and women become yoledeses, but also women go to the mikveh and it goes away. You can take care of that. Men are rarely zavim. However, if you look at the Gemara, in Pesachim talks about zav is not limited to just zav, but to rabbos bal keri. When a man lives with his wife, so that also makes him tame on a lower level of tuma. That is what's called the bal keri. But also if a man goes to the mikvah and waits a day, then that you can get rid of that as well. So we talk about nowadays going on the Har HaBayis, etc. So nowadays we're all tame, right? We assume that all of us haven't come in contact with dead people, right? We all are what's called tame mace. But a tame mace is allowed to go on the Har HaBayis, right? Only into the Azara, etc. As you go on in the mission, it'll tell you where the tame mace can't go anymore. So the fact that we're tame mace doesn't matter. It would seem that we would be allowed to go up on the Har HaBayis based on this, assuming a person goes to mikveh beforehand and follows the rules as are necessary. That's the first issue. The next issue, which is a famous issue, this is a famous machokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, as to what is the status of the Har HaBayis nowadays. The Rambam famously says that when it comes to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so twice we made Eretz Yisrael holy, right? Once in the time of Yehoshua, right? That's what's called Kedusha Rishona. Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael. That was our first coming in. We take over the land. Afterwards, a bunch of years later, Shlomo HaMelech builds a Beis HaMikdash. That lasts for another few hundred years, and then unfortunately the Chorban Bayis Rishon, and we get thrown out. Then Ezra comes, and he is re-Mekadesh everything. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara Megillah, Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shait V'lo Kitcha L'Ashad Lavo. The first time we were Mekadesh it, that was a temporary Kedusha. Kedusha Shliya Kitcha L'Shait V'lo Kitcha L'Ashad Lavo. However, the second time, that was permanent. So if you look at the Rambam says this is all a discussion about Eretz Yisrael in general. However, when talking about the Har HaBayis, that's all different. So looking at number 12, he gets up and he says, and I'd like to explain to you that I hold when it comes to the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis and the Makom HaMikdash, the Temple Mount, that Kedusha, that holiness is permanent. That never went away. Why do I say that? Kedusha sites all the Indian Shvias and Maestas Yosemim Lokichas Lavel, Afisha Kedushas Hamikdash Yushraim Neashchina. He said the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis has nothing to do with what we announce. The fact that we announced that, you know, this is now going to be Kodesh, that doesn't affect anything. What makes the Har HaBayis Kodesh, again, this really sounds like the Ramban that we started off with, is the fact that the Shekhinah there is there. The Shekhinah is at the Har HaBayis, and the Shekhinah never moves from the Har HaBayis. And therefore, the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis remains whether or not there is a Beis HaMikdash standing there. The Ravid, if you skip to number 13, disagrees. He says, I don't know where he came from. She said, but Kedusha Rishona Shekitcha Shlomo Omavram Sforos Atzmohi. Zoom. He made this up. I don't know where he came up with this. Where's the mucker? You can't start making this up yourself. So the Rive is actually of the opinion that the Kedushas HaMikdash is gone. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no more Kedusha there. Now, that's a very important machokas. According to the Rive, a person could go up in the Har HaBayis, the Zman Hazeh, no concern whatsoever. Why? No Kedusha. It's like walking down the street. It's like any other part of Yerushalayim. There's nothing special nowadays about the Har HaBayis. Therefore, if a person is tummy, just like a person who is tummy can walk through the Arab Shuk, and a person who is tummy can go walk down Ben Yehuda, a person who is tummy could go into the mosque. to the extent that we're allowed to go into mosques, that would be absolutely fine. So according to the Ravid, this entire discussion is irrelevant because there's no more Kedusha there. All these halachas about going up to the Makom HaMikdash, that was only relevant when there was a Beis HaMikdash on the Har HaBayis. Now there's no more Beis HaMikdash, there's no more Kedusha, there's nothing to talk about. On the other hand, even though the Ravid might be very useful in allowing us to go on the Har HaBayis, it of course takes away any reason why we would want to go. Right? The whole reason you want to go on the Har HaBayis is because it's worth something. Right? It cuts the other way because, okay, that's good, we can go there. Now, I'm not sure why you want it, but have a good time. According to the Rambam, on the other hand, you have Kedusha. You want to go there, but you can't because you have these issues involved. How do we paskin? Do we follow the Rambam or the Ravid? So the Mishnah Berurah surprisingly takes sides on this. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, number 14, based on Mikdash, Anichtas Ata Lamakam Mikdash Chayv Karis, Shakulanu Temei Mesim, the Kedusha Rishona Kitzel Rishayt, the Kitzel Asalavel. So he says that no, if nowadays if a person goes up on the Har HaBayis, you could be Chayev Karis, because the level of Kedusha, which was on the Mokom HaMikdash, at Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, at the time that there was a Beis HaMikdash, that has not changed at all. So according to that, according to the Mishnah Berurah, he follows like the Rambam, and therefore we have issues. Now, he's of course alluding to another problem. The other problem is, we don't exactly archaeologically know where the Har HaBayis is. Now, you go up on the Temple Mount, so at Bizmash HaBayis HaMikdash Kayim, there was, of course, different levels of Kedusha. There was the Har HaBayis, there was the Chel, there was the Azara, right? There was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we don't exactly know where this was all located. There are different theories. Many archaeological studies have been done on the matter, but no one is exactly sure about it. Now, among the things that people point out is that the size of the Temple Mount is approximately twice the size it was at the time it was based on Mikdash HaYakayim. Right? Herod expanded it. So part of it, that what we call the Har HaBayis, isn't the Har HaBayis. Right? That was just part of the expansion. So on the one hand, there's got to be part of it up there where you can walk around without a problem because it's not really the Har HaBayis. On the other hand, if you walk on the wrong part, if you tamei meis, even, as we all are, you're chayev karis. So you have this issue that you have to deal with. Now, if you look at, there's a famous Radvaz. Everybody always starts with the Radvaz. The Radvaz was one of the later Rishonim. And they ask him the question, it's a very strange question. They ask him a question about the Har HaBayis. She'alta mimeni, number 16. Odia chadaiti imutta likonis aliyas habanuya saviv lebeis hamikdash, she'im boltus otoch hamikdash. Are you allowed to go on the steps that were built around the Beis HaMikdash that on certain points lean into the Beis HaMikdash? No one's really sure what the question is. What are these steps? What are they talking about? We don't know. However, the very beginning of the tshuva is he tells us something that's very relevant. Tshuva, dash, lo kol aliyo shavas. Not all the steps are the same. Lo kol aruchu shavas. Not every direction is the same. It's Sarach Umud Yafi. You have to be very careful in figuring out where everything is. Liros, Ezu Mutaris Veza Asura. What's Mutter and what's Asur? Vzeki Adover Borosh Atachas Akipa Shem Evan Hashisia. Veli Safek Hanikrasam Al Askra. So he says that the mosque, the Al Askra mosque, the Kippa, the dome, what's under there is clearly the Evan Hashisia. The Evan HaShisia is the stone that the Aron Kodesh sat on. So he says that without a doubt, that the Dome of the Rock sits on what is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, assuming he is correct, well, then we've got a pretty good idea where everything stands, right? If that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you can figure out where the Azara is, you can figure out where the Chel is, you can figure out everything else. The problem is, over the last 100 years or so, archaeologists have basically proven that to be false. And at a bare minimum, there are serious questions raised by that. Now, of course, among the questions raised is, how did he know? Right? The assumption is that the Radvaz is probably going based on some tradition. Right? It's hard to imagine that there's any mucker before the Radvaz that we're unaware of that says this. So, were we to accept the Radvaz as true, then their issue of positioning would not be as serious of an issue. The problem is that we don't. If anyone's interested, I think in the summer 2010 copy of Chakira magazine, that's put out in Flatbush, some people wrote an excellent article on this, a long, complex article putting together the halacha and the archaeology, where they have a pretty good idea of, they think, of where everything stood. And, you know, it's a very interesting article to read. But this is definitely an issue. The issue of what is the Harabayis and what isn't the Harabayis is something you have to deal with. So that's a problem. That's another issue out there. Beyond that, there's another halacha in the Rambam, which is very important. Number 15, the Rambam makes a statement where he's discussing, again, the same halachas that we were talking about before in Mora HaMikdash, wearing shoes in the Makom HaMikdash, etc. And he says, Ve'ezu yirasa lo yichnos adam haharabayis b'mako o b'mino shabaraglo v'avudosam. Same exact thing that we said up until now. He just quotes the halachas from the Mishnah. And, of course, you're not allowed to spit on the harabayis. Can't use it as a shortcut for Yasa Harabayas Derch Yikones be Pesach Zuvi Yasim Pesach Shekinegda, but you can't cut through. He rocks our deros or yakis me bechutz, for yichtaslo el dover mitzvah. And besides that, the Rambam adds that you cannot go up to the Harabayas for no reason in particular. When you go up to the Harabayas, it has to be for a mitzvah. There has to be a reason to be there. Right? The simple understanding of this Rambam is in order to do that, you have to go up to the Harabayis. So you have to bring a carbon, right? Right? Whatever you do on the Harabayis. One would imagine, you know, I'm a tourist, I'd like to take pictures. Unclear what the mitzvah would be in that case. Again, that's another level, you know, to go up there. So I want to go up there and say Tehillim. You can say Tehillim other places as well. Right, so one would have to figure out if we want to go up in the Makom Mikdash, what mitzvah you be mekayim by going up there. So, as we said, all this was very theoretical for many, many years, but then thankfully in 1967 this became relevant, and the question became, you know, do we encourage people to go up to the Har HaBayis? Well, do we somehow figure out, there is agreement. What's called, I think, the Mugrabi Gate, which is the gate next to the Ezra Snoshim, right? Most people go up to Har HaBayis. You have the one bus lets you off there, and then you have the Ezra Snoshim, and then you have the men's section. And right between the one bus and the Ezra Snoshim, there is a ramp. And that ramp is what takes you up to the Har HaBayis. The assumption is that area, right when you walk in, is for sure definitely not the Beis HaMikdash itself. And it's probably not even really Har HaBayis. Right? The odds are very strong that that is not even considered Har HaBayis. So the question is, should people be allowed to go there? So the general approach of the Rabbanut has been no. The Rabbanut has, as the sign indicates there, Jews are discouraged, even if they've gone to the mikvah. Of course, if they haven't gone to the mikvah, right? Even if they take off their shoes, they should not go up on the Har HaBayis. Rav Avadjan is Yabia Omer, number 17, writes about it. Obviously, it's a very long tshuva, as tshuvas in Yabia Omer tend to be. But skipping to Yud Aleph, it says, Harmurim b'kol ha'amor sha'adin nosan lifso k'divei harambam v'rova rishonim v'achron sh'vedusa rishonim kitra gam v'asulavo. Point number one, we follow the Rambam. There is kedusha, there's a problem. Chayin asli kodis b'zmazel l'mokom ha'mikdash v'gal ha'yosu t'mei mesim. So he said, just the fact that we're Tomei Mesim is enough that we should remain off, even if you're going to get rid of the other Tumah. But Galas to Gabsel, Rotus, Rudolf, Matos, Masok, helicopter. Not only are you not allowed to go on it, you're not even take a helicopter right above it. I doubt they allow helicopters to go over the Makom HaMikdash for security reasons. But how you talking? I'm wrong, and they would allow it, you shouldn't do it. Bavi Makom HaMikdash, Kedusha Chal Gamal, Aver HaAzara Adarakia. Because the Kedusha goes all the way off. This is Karis, this is a big deal. Tell people you're not allowed to go up there, Rav Avadya says. It said, and the truth of the matter is we're really concerned about what is what up there. Any place on the mountain potentially, you know, could be an area that there's an Issur Karis on. He quotes, Sh'af Sh'ashut HaRadvaz, She'in Sofik She'eva Nikras Al-Tzara Kipa Tassara Hu Ha'evin Ashiya She'aleh Hi Ha'aron. He said, even though the Radvaz says that way, we're not convinced that the Radvaz is right. U'kha'achayn V'vada She'ish Rishrachi V'lishmosh Lo Ikonis L'Harabayis Afilu Achar Tfilu L'Tzorech Mitzvah. Even if it's L'Tzorech Mitzvah, even if you went to the Mikvah, Rav Avadya says that you should avoid it. He says the potential danger of going up there, the potential isurim, far outweigh any potential good you're going to get by going up there. Similarly, there is a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, and this is not the Rabbanut. Minchas Yitzchak was the head of the Eidah Haredus, and he also writes that what the Radvaz writes, Nakal Levade She'asal Omed Beit Filasim. Said even according to that, he says the bottom line is he's wrong. So people say that, you know, one has got to be very careful. So he says as well that a person should avoid going up on the Har HaBayis. It's interesting, among the people who are pushing the movement nowadays to go up on the Har HaBayis, you know, it seems to be the followers of Rav Kook are the ones who have taken the lead. Rav Kook has a tshuva on this, and it's not exactly what you'd think he'd say. He also said one should not go up on the Har HaBayis. So again, in his Mishpat Kohen, Rav Kook wrote, again, it was not as Lamaisa in his days, it was not as easy to get up in the Har HaBayis when Rav Kook was alive. He thinks it's a problem, and at the end he writes a very long, the last paragraph is a very beautiful paragraph, where he writes how we wait every day for Mashiach to come, and we wait for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, and we sit and we wait for everything to take care of itself. However, you know, this isn't Neturei Karta speaking. This is Rav Kook speaking. That, you know, going up to the Har HaBayis on our own nowadays, that's not going to speed anything up. Rather, our tefillos and our mitzvahs, that's what's going to bring the Beis HaMikdash, not our going on the Har HaBayis. It's a little bit of a longer piece, but I put it all here because it's worth reading to see what he has to say. So therefore, all of the classic poskim of the last 100 years or so were aware of the fact of archaeologically what is involved, what isn't involved, and all the yisurim that are involved. And basically, the decision has been made, and this is the official stance of the Rabbanut of Eretz Yisrael, that they are of the opinion that they think that the whatever it is to be gained, not so clear what it is to be gained by going up on the Har HaBayis, is overwhelmed by the potential Isurim, and therefore people should be discouraged from going up on the Har HaBayis. This is the general opinion among the Poskim. It's interesting that not everybody agrees with this. It's very interesting. I spoke to Rabbi Schechter, and he told me he disagrees. Rabbi Schechter said that there are definitely parts out there that are definitely not Har HaBayis. One can go on the Temple Mount and be 100% sure that where they're walking, he said, right when you walk in the gate, is not considered a part of the Har HaBayis as far as the Kedusha is concerned. And therefore, he thinks that theoretically it would be appropriate. Why? What is there to gain? What's to gain is Rav Schechter has a political concern. He said, what's going to be? At some point, it's going to go to the world court, and the Muslims are going to say, this is our holy place, and we've had our mosque here for all of these years, and people to this day regularly come every single day to pray here. These Jews are making a claim that they never even come. Here they are, they're controlling the whole state of Israel, they're controlling the Temple Mount for the last 45 years, and no one even bothers to show up. And now they're going to kick us out? So Rabbi Schechter thinks that since that it is mutter to go there, and since politically it's important for us to stake a claim to the Har HaBayis and make it clear to the world that it is ours, Rabbi Schechter is of the opinion, he thinks that theoretically people should go. However, practically, Rav Shechter will not say that. He'll let me say it. I don't know. He doesn't know I'm saying this. I don't think he listens on the internet. So, I hope. But he says as follows. He says the bottom line is he's of the opinion that the local rabbinate controls the locale. It is inappropriate, he thinks, when the rabbinate of Israel gives opinions as to the way things should be run in America. And therefore, he thinks it is equivalently inappropriate for the rabbinate of America to tell the rabbinate what to do. So therefore, he thinks that even though if they would have asked him, he would have said that it would be a good idea against what the rabbinut has taken on as their opinion and against what the poskim say here. Since, in fact, if you can keep it limited, there's really no problem of the Isurim. And there is what he sees as this potentially very important statement to be made. Still, Rav Shechter said he himself would not go up, nor would he encourage anyone to go up, because it's the Rabbanut's right to paskin with what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, and he is not going to disagree with them. So, Lemaisa, it all comes out the same, that Rav Shechter also would not tell someone to go up there, and he himself would not go up to the things. But often theoretically, that he disagrees with the underlying logic, but the Lemaisa doesn't change at all. I just left off here with a quote from Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal, people are not familiar, he's a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham. He learns in what was formerly called the Yeshiva HaKotel. And he was asked, and he was interviewed, and this was actually printed on the internet, and they asked him, what do you think about going up there? So he writes that he says, Ha'olam Har Bais Matamim Oso. Not only aren't you helping things, you're making things worse. Very, very strong language. And he goes, he explains that even though he, of course, is Metzafel Yeshua, that he very much wants there to be a reason to go up there. There is no reason nowadays. And now it's not even a blank, it's a negative. So again, if you read through the article, what's Rav Nevensal's take about it? He said the bottom line is whenever somebody goes up, somebody Jewish, particularly somebody more famous Jewish, automatically you have to raise the amount of chayalim that are up there. And the chayalim, by and large, who are going on the Har HaBayis, are not the datiyim. And therefore, they are not being as careful as they should be about the Kedushas HaMakom. Forget about wearing shoes, all the various halachas about the way a person is supposed to act. And also, they're not being careful at all, walk here, not walk there, as perhaps they shouldn't be. Right? Being that they have to secure the entire Har HaBayis, they have to walk wherever they need to walk. He said, by us going up there, we're not accomplishing anything. And now they have to get X amount of more chayalim patrolling the Makom HaMikdash, walking around with guns on the Makom HaMikdash, wearing shoes in the Makom HaMikdash, walking where it is problematic to walk on the Makom HaMikdash. So what do we gain? We go and we make a statement, and now all of Achenu B'nai Yisrael are being over Averus. That's not building the base of HaMikdash any earlier. So therefore, Rav Nevensal takes a very strong stand that even though he is as Sioni as the next guy, he absolutely thinks that it's inappropriate. So, big hitzer. What Yotze Mikol Elu is that the stance of the Israeli rabbinate and majority of the poskim has been that it's inappropriate to go on the Har HaBayis. There are people that disagree. There is what to base it on. Right? Again, there are places where most likely are not even considered Har HaBayis. If a person goes to the mikveh and has hair of shemesh and also doesn't wear shoes, it could be that the area that is Har HaBayis, but not more than Har HaBayis, would be mutter to go as well. However, the approach has been to discourage this type of action based on many reasons, and that is the official position, and that's what we hold. Yes?
If you go in the tunnels underneath the hotel, there's a point at which you stop. Tell you that's a direct point where the Kaddish of Kedushim is. People go there to pray. Is this also because of the space that you talked about even the helicopter?
So again, we know that the Kedusha goes up. I'm not as sure about the Kedusha going down.
But it's going straight forward. I'm saying this is straightforward.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Doesn't say Mechilas on the discussion.
Okay, well, right, but again, I'm not sure exactly where everything is. It's just, I'm
No, but there should be a problem. If you're in tunnels, as opposed to...
Right, again...
Because on the statue, so you should be, you know, you should be okay.
I don't know if these are the same mechilas that they're talking about.
Mechilas tunnels.
Yeah, but there could be different tunnels. It could be that the tunnels they had went one way and these go another way. I don't know.
Whatever it is, but that's it. Any tunnels would work
out. I don't know.
Are there any problems in posting who possibly you should go up or you could go up?
If you go on Arutz Sheva, there are pictures of rabbis that go up there. So I assume the people that appear in the Arutz Sheva pictures that go up there, that were drugged and knocked unconscious and dropped there, I assume that there are those people who hold of it. You know, so a person goes online.
Is there a literature?
So again, most of the literature that I am familiar with is the literature which is talking about the archaeology of what is, what isn't, right? Meaning that's the majority of the literature. Again, you take out this book by Tzomet, it's called something like that. I'm not, don't remember exactly, right? They talk about, you know, the areas where you would be allowed to go. There's not a lot of discussion about, well, why would I want to go? You know, okay, so it's not Harabais. Good. So, but again, there are definitely people who disagree, and based on the fact that there are pictures of these people. What?
Oh.
Right, so there is a fair amount of discussion about, you know, the Gemara talks about that, you know, Sheita Teva and Migdal, you know, if they put you in a box, somehow can you avoid the Tumah? Right, they talk, it's it reminds me of a story. Right? One of the famous Chelm stories is one morning the Rebbe of Chelm woke up and it was snowing. And he felt so bad, he didn't want to mess up the nice snow. So he called the four Hasidim, they carried him so he wouldn't have to walk on the snow, he shouldn't ruin it. So again, I think you have the same problem when it comes to that. Unless we're talking about a helicopter. Right. Right, again, a lot of the concern is, you know, you stop bringing tour groups up there and they say, you know, please don't step by the line, you know, and they say, oh, it's just got to get a better picture. Right? It's a shame to get curries over there. If you're going to get curries, you might as well earn it. You know, for something good.
Most of the discussion we had this morning referred to Kedusha Rishona, whether it's a Rishaita Vasid Lavo. But we also have Kedusha Shnia.
Right.
That Kedusha Shnia is Vasid Lavo.
That's regarding the entire Eretz Yisrael, not Har Habayis. The Raiva disagrees by Har Habayis that he holds that Kedusha Shniyah is also not Kitchel Eretz Lavo. But as we said, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, do not pass him like the Raiva, they pass him like the Rambam. And that seems to be the standard Pesach.